Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You're listening to a Countout podcast. What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Independent Waters. I am your host, Mikey Manfredi, and joining me, as always, is the other host of Independent Waters. Don't know why I said the show name twice, Zach Batista. Zach, how you doing, my man?
Doing pretty good. It feels like spring suddenly coming around in Jersey.
Oh, finally. Spring is my favorite. Spring and fall are my favorite seasons. Because
spring's pretty awesome.
I know. I like fall because it's like, they're both just like perfect weather for me. Like, I love spring. Because I could bust out the Hawaiian shirts again, and it's sunny and nice, and I feel good. And I like fall because it's not too cold, but it's not too warm, and it's like nice jeans and flannel leather. Fall and spring are the two best seasons, and there is no competition.
For me, spring and summer are kind of interchangeable, but I definitely love me some fall.
Fair enough.
Fucking snow finally melted,
But nobody likes winter.
Fuck winter.
Oh, God. I don't hate winter because I'd rather be cold than hot. I think I like winter more than I like summer, but this winter specifically can fuck off.
Yeah, I run, so I've been running in the fucking snow and ice for the last couple weeks, and I'm very glad to see it all melt now.
Yeah, I bet, because you're probably not sliding around out there.
I had like one or two times where I went over and I stepped on what I thought was snow and I've almost slipped. And I was like, that would have sucked Whoa. Really badly. Nothing like waking up at 9 a.m., running out, and then mid-run slipping and falling face first onto the street. That's...
Shoo. Man, that'd be a way to start your day, huh?
Oh, yeah. Wake me right up.
Yep. So it's like, time to wake up and get the day.
Ooh.
All right. Well, I think we got some decent matches this week, so why don't we just jump right on into it? Who started off?
Was
it, 2 weeks ago?
It's been a fucking minute, but if I want to give a guess, I want to say that since you were the one that went last before we both watched our match together, I want to say you went first.
All right. So why don't you kick us off this week?
Okay, let's see. Which one do I want to go for first? We'll go with this one first. So I was in the Josh Alexander mood because my dad keeps up with Impact.
Classic.
And I heard Josh Alexander and I saw some of him in action. I was like, you know what? I could go for a Josh Alexander match.
Nice.
And I ended up finding Josh Alexander versus Sheldon Jean at Sea Valley Wrestling.
Sea Valley Wrestling. Okay.
Yeah. It was Sea Valley Wrestling 2. Hold on, let me get the full title of the pay-per-view thing, or the event for you. Sea Valley Wrestling 2, Love Hurts.
Love does indeed hurt.
Yes, it does.
So does wrestling, so let's get into that.
Hey, that's a fucking great segue right there. Alright, match starts right off, and there's some brief chain wrestling between the two, until Alexander uses the ropes to get Gene off of him. And when he backs off, Alexander just kind of shoves him, and it's kind of like, he just gives him like a, oh, alright, motherfucker, let's fucking do this shit then. Gets him all, like, pumped up, the two go right back at it. And Alexander gets Gene in a headlock. And, oh, God, I'm remembering this now. So someone at this point yells the word wrestling because they're doing a bunch of chain wrestling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, everyone in the crowd yells it. And it's like, yeah, I laughed a bit at that. And, see, normally I wouldn't mention, like, this crowd stuff because I'd leave that up to anyone who watches the match for the stuff that the crowd all does unless it's super important to the match. But this joke, the crowd just beats this joke into the ground. God, throughout this entire match, there's just one fucking guy who's just yelling the word wrestling, and I'm like, all right, I get it. They're wrestling. The joke died.
We got it. We understand. They're doing the thing.
Like, Josh Alexander even does the joke once, and I thought that was where the joke would just stop. But no, it just persisted, and I was just like, could you just not?
Like, shh, you're like the guy with the, like, shh, like when they do the slap. Except no slap, you're just telling everybody to shut up.
Exactly. And on that note, I gotta put out, this is the less than ideal part of this match, was that the crowd was not the greatest for this match.
Okay.
They just didn't show a lot of enthusiasm for it. They just, like, they just kind of drew my attention away from the match, like, just shouting just random shit for the wrestlers to do, and I'm just like, no, man, just cheer and just watch them, man. Come on.
Yeah, right? Like, just respect the art that's happening in front of you. Like, respect the competitors, the performers, yeah. Like, shit.
Yeah, so that took a little bit out of me when I was watching this match. But back to the match. The two execute a good back and forth of holds, ending with Alexander and in a crossface, which he then turns into a pin.
Mm-hmm.
When Gene lets go and breaks the pin, Alexander gets up and shoves Gene again. At this point now, this has just kind of pissed him off, because up until this point, Alexander's just not really been... He's just kind of been shoving him whenever he's like been told to get off him, right?
Mm.
And he immediately charges him after this.
Poof. Okay.
The two exchange some more strikes. There's some chops for Alexander, some forearms towards from Gene. And Alexander then shoulder charges him to the mat. Gene tries to jump over Alexander as he runs the ropes, but Alexander catches him in a fireman's carry. And while he is trying to get out of it, while he's able to get out of it, he then eats a running back elbow for his troubles. Oof. For that, knocking him right to the mat. Alexander just then starts to dissect Gene, and we get this neat sequence where Gene gets sent to the apron, tries to spear Alexander. Alexander dodges it, tries to knee him in the face, but Gene dodges it.
Okay.
And then throws Alexander face first into the turnbuckles. Then Alexander, after I think Gene gets into the ring, Alexander then goes for a German, but Gene is able to throw him to the outside by running towards the ropes and using his weight to throw him out of the ring. He mm-hmm. then goes for a suicide dive, but Alexander walks to the other side of the ring. So he gets out of the ring and chases Alexander around the ring.
Okay.
Alexander then tries to attack Gene once the two of them get back into the ring. And Gene counters this by hitting him with a jumping knee kick to the face. Gene Ooh. Then dominates with a series of
jumping knee
strikes.
Kick to the face. Interesting.
It's a kick. A slip of the tongue, if you will.
Hey, no worries. It's just, I can picture it, you know, like a knee and then into kick.
Oh god, that would be a sick move, like a jumping high knee into an enziguri.
Oh yeah, or like a jumping high knee, and then they bounce off the ropes, and you hit him with like a bicycle kick.
Ooh, I would like that. Would be cool. Wrestlers do that. I would love to see
Dude,
that.
Hey, what we said, do that. It'd be sick.
All right. After Gene dominates the series, William strikes. He goes for a DDT, but which is his finisher, this double underhook DDT, if I recall correctly. Alexander shoves him away and gives him a spinning back kick. Gene gives him a spinning back kick and then tries to hit him with a side knee, but Alexander catches him, picks him up in the air, knee first, and just drops him on his back with a backbreaker. Drops him on his knee with a backbreaker. It looked nasty.
Yikes.
Alexander then again proceeds to take apart Gene, and despite his best efforts to come back, the two then exchange hefty forearm strikes with each other until Gene forearms Alexander to his knees, and then Alexander is forced to then knee him in the stomach to stop him.
Okay.
He then tries to continue this, but Gene interrupts him with a massive big boot to the face, which had a ton of impact to it. Like, you could hear the smack when it hit him.
Mm-hmm.
Followed by he then hit another jumping side leg attack, which kind of looked like Booker T's I forgot what it is, but it's like a jumping high, like, side leg or whatever. I don't know if that's yet what the name of this move is. Sorry.
After this,
the two of them are knocked both to the ground. Alexander tries to roll Gene up, but Gene then kicks out and is then sent to the apron. And not missing a beat, immediately punches Alexander in the face, jumps to the springs off the top rope, and hits Alexander with a clothesline.
Okay.
He then hits a few running forearms. Alexander then gets his feet up to stop him when he's in the corner now at this point. But sadly for him, Gene then hits him with a drop kick after, which sends him off the top turnbuckle to the outside.
Yikes.
Not wanting to lose the upper hand at this, he then does a tope con hilo, which gets Alexander into the ring. He then hits a spinning fireman's carry slam, which the best way I can describe it is he just gets him on his shoulders, he spins around, then he, like, This move looked like it hurt Gene more than Alexander, but then Gene went for the pin, and I was like, oh, that was not Alexander countering it. That was just a weird-looking move. Okay.
That move just hurt. It's like, that move just weird, huh?
It just hurts all involved.
Great.
He goes for something off the top rope, but Alexander dodges it, hits him with an enziguri, and then follows it up by a German suplex buckle bomb, which was one of my favorite spots of this.
German suplex buckle bomb. Yep. Big yikes.
Yep. It looked about as rough. It looked as rough as it sounds.
Yeah, I bet. Alexander that sounds miserable to take.
Oh yeah. Alexander then goes to the top rope, but before he can get anything done, Gene runs up to the top, like he just jumps up there, grabs him, and then hits an overhead belly-to-belly suplex on Alexander off the top.
Nice.
Very nice. Alexander then goes for his finisher, which is a double underhook pile driver, but Gene rolls him up, but it doesn't get the job done.
Okay.
Alexander then hits a disgusting-looking dragon screw leg sweep.
Nice. Because,
like, his leg literally, like, his knee, like, bends inward, and I just been thinking, oh, no!
Ugh.
That move will never not look rough whenever I watch it happen to someone. I'm just like, no!
Yeah, it's like your body shouldn't move the way it does when you're getting hit with a dragon screw. Like, the way it, like stops and then falls.
Mm-hmm. Alexander then hits his finisher, and surprisingly, Gene kicks out.
Ooh,
which really
okay.
surprised me and whatever part of the crowd was involved with this match because they were for Alexander. Alexander then hits a hefty-looking discus forearm to Gene's face, mm-hmm. goes for a slam, but Gene then counters it into the double underhook DDT he tried going before, and then gets a surprising win.
All right, big win for him here.
Yeah, apparently, evidently, like, the crowd was really behind Alexander. Honestly, for this match, I'll give this match a meh.
Okay.
It might have been higher up, but the crowd just... God, the crowd just killed some of my enthusiasm for this match. Like, there were some really cool spots that I liked. Like, I liked the buckle bomb spot. The belly-to-belly was like, looked a bit like, I was like, whoa. But then when they did it, I was like, oh, well, that looked good. Good shit.
All right, well, that looked good.
Good. I was literally like, when he grabbed him, like, it was one of those, like, I'm about to go off the top rope. You need to come with me. And Alexander was like, take me. And that they both just kind of fell off the top rope over him.
You have to come with me. Take me.
So, yeah. It's a fine match, though, otherwise. I feel like if the crowd was more involved, that this might have gotten a high meh, maybe. Because like, I remember there was a point when like Gene tries to get the crowd going for him, and the crowd just did not give a shit about him.
Yikes.
Like, and I was like, man, come on.
Big yikes.
Just
I hate
clap him. For the man.
Like, just help him out.
He's trying his best. He's trying to be entertaining for you guys. Come on.
They're putting their bodies on the line for you. Show them respect, at least.
Pretty much. But yeah, so that's my first match.
Solid. All right, so let's get into my first match. We have a match from Shine Wrestling going over to Japan, baby.
Nice.
Miyu Yamashita, sorry. I couldn't figure out how to pronounce the name because I'm terrible with pronunciations. But Miyu Yamashita,
fair enough.
Who I believe is part of the AEW Women's Tournament currently happening?
She might be. I'm going to look it up. Keep going.
I believe she is. Yeah, you looked that up. Anyway, versus Allison Kay.
Allison Kay. Oh.
A name we both know.
Yeah.
This match is for the Shine Women's Championship, or the Shine Championship. I don't know why I said women's, because that is just redundant. So this match is for the Shine Championship between Kay and Yamashita, and let me tell you, when I say these two, like, beat the crap out of each other, I know I say that a lot, but, like, this time I mean it.
This time they actually did that.
This time they actually did. Like, it starts off with, like, regular, Allison Kay makes her entrance, Miyu makes her entrance, and while she's, like, holding up the belt in the middle, Allison Kay just, like, storms up to her and gets in her face. Like, she's, like, talking trash, like, all up in Miyu's face, but Miyu just, like, ignores her and continues her entrance anyway. And it just makes Allison Kay look, like, really creepy, and it's, like, so... It actually works for the match really well, because it makes Allison Kay feel much more like the heel.
You ever just get straight ignored by your opponent when you're trying to do some mind game shit?
Yeah, I was like, Allison Kay was like trying to get inside Miyu's head, and Miyu was like, tinfoil hat. Like, you can't get in my head.
But
I refuse.
I found it. I do not see her name on the list.
Maybe... Oh, weird. I could have sworn she was. I heard that name somewhere. I can't remember where I heard it. Anyway.
Anywho.
Back to this match. These two started off with a pretty technical wrestling match, but also a very hard-hitting one. A lot of good chain wrestling in the beginning from Kay and Miyu, but there's also a lot of really good, solid kicks from Miyu and elbows from Miyu, who's really just laying it in. Like, these look like potatoes, man. Like, they look like they're just going right in there.
Never, ever change New Japan women wrestlers. You guys literally beat the shit out of each other and somehow don't look absolutely fucked after the match.
Hey, Allison Kay got her fair share of shots too.
Kay was at Bloodsport.
Kay
can take some fucking hits.
We know Kay can take some hits and dish out some fucking punishment. We know this. So Kay ends up getting in her strikes, where she gets Miyu in the corner, and just starts chopping away. And when I tell you it echoes, my guy, it echoes.
Ooh.
Because the crowd is quiet, but not in a bad way.
Yeah, that's Japan crowds, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a Japan crowd. It's not an American crowd. The Japan crowds are very respectful, like to watch the wrestlers. They're not like woo, yeah.
Yeah, they're not like they're also not like an EU crowd that's like super much like having their own fun with having the wrestlers fun.
Like, yeah, Japanese crowds are very respectful.
Yeah, they do react, but only at points where like it's proper, I guess the word I'm putting it. Like when certain moments happen, they'll react. Like if someone goes through a table, they'll react to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but if they're having
chain
wrestling, it's like you said, it's very respectful, very much them like taking in the art of watching pro wrestling.
Yeah, they just sit and enjoy what they're watching, and I think it's cool. So it's like quiet. It's very quiet throughout the arena, so throughout the whole match because of that. And man, it just makes those chops sound brutal.
Damn.
Like there's one point where they end up fighting to like the outside too, and Kay like leans Miyu like over the apron,
yeah,
and just goes, "Everyone, be quiet!" And it's just dead silent, and you just hear she instead of chopping like straight, she goes down.
Oh,
because Miyu is like leaning over the apron, so she's like basically like laying on the apron, like bent backwards.
Oh,
And Kay just chops downward straight on her chest, and oh my god, she does it twice. God, and both just sound like gunshots.
I'll leave a mark in the morning.
Oh yeah, it will. It was brutal. It was like whap. Then while they're on the outside, Kay grabs Miyu and whips her into a row of chairs.
Oh, of course.
Yep. Then they fight around on a little bit on the outside, and Miyu gets the upper hand, and then she whips Kay through a bunch of chairs.
Oh my god.
And then they finally get back in the ring. These two are exhausted. Allison Kay goes for a pin, and she gets up. Like, Miyu kicks out, and they're both just down on the ground.
Yeah.
They both use each other to get up and just start trading blows back and forth. It's like Kay winds up elbows, chops, Miyu's hitting like head kicks that are just knocking Kay around.
Ooh.
Oh yeah, big meaty kicks, just like laying them in right to Allison's head, to her legs, to her midsection. Really, really educated feet for Miyu. And Kay is also just laying in elbows, punches, chops, whatever she can get. Like these two just don't stop. Like, there is one point where Kay is in the corner and Miyu goes to the other end and just runs, jumps, and just like does like a big boot.
Ooh. Just,
it was like a Huluva kick, except she like got a little bit of air.
Damn.
Yeah, it was brutal looking. That is not enough to take Kay down. And in the middle of the ring, they're training blows yet again. Miyu hits a big kick to Allison's head. Allison bounces off the ropes, comes back with a discus lariat, turns Miyu absolutely inside out, and gets the 1-2-3, and ends up winning. Ends up becoming the new Shine champion. Miyu was champion going into this match, which I forgot to mention in the beginning. But Miyu was champion going into this match. Allison K ends up winning with his Discus Lariat and becoming the new Shine champion.
Dude, that is... Damn, that sounds like a fucking great match.
This match was very good. They absolutely... Well, like I said, they beat the crap out of each other. And I usually use that term very lightly. But they actually really beat the crap out of each other.
They actually just beat the shit out of each other.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the match, Allison K calls Miyu back in the ring. Mm-hmm. Puts her hand out for the handshake. Shakes her hand and then pulls her in.
Yeah.
And, like, whispers something and just, like, pushes her away.
Oh,
and
wow.
Leaves the ring with the title.
I was expecting a forearm to the face.
No, it was like she shook her hand respectfully, but it was, like, aggressive. It was, like, aggressive respect.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she ripped her in, said something, and was like, all right. And, like, pushed her off after she was done and left the ring. She didn't, like, beat her up or anything. It was just, like, yeah. Very aggressive.
Expecting the beat up. Did not get beat up. Got aggressive handshake and secrets.
You got, yeah, aggressive respect and secrets. But, yeah, that was this match. I think I'm going to give it a high meh. I don't think it busted that markout threshold for me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was very, very good. I liked it a lot. These two really... really put on a good wrestling match, and I was a huge fan of it. So definitely high meh, but like definitely like on the verge of like getting there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
For me, at least.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So yeah, very cool match. What's your second one of the old episode?
All right, I decided to. I wanted to find a match between one competitor and. Or two different competitors, but I couldn't find one. And then I found one with them both in it, so I was very happy to see that.
There you go. Best of both worlds.
I chose to do Erika Leigh.
Okay.
Versus Ziggy Heim.
Okay, I don't think I've heard of either of these two.
I've heard, I looked around to see stars that are independent wrestlers that people say that are good, and both their names came up in a website I found. So I was like, sure, let me find a match with Ziggy Heim, and then I saw Erika Leigh, and I was like, oh! Well, this works out perfectly.
There you go.
And it is at Intercontinental Combat Sports Wrestling TV, or for short, ICS Wrestling TV.
Okay, that
mouthful.
Thank you. Say it is a mouthful.
That's why the you should use the second one. Both these women have very very unique sets of attire for this match. First off,
okay.
Like, Heim's got like a checkerboard like outfit on, and like Leigh's got like this.
Let's
really
go, so
bright...
ska.
True. And Leigh's got, like, what I would like to call, like, the wrestling attire looks like someone took, like, a bunch of different prints of different colors and just sewed them together and put them onto an attire.
She was just going around, like, collecting scraps of, like...
Literally,
of,
like...
Of, like, she's, like, she was working on, like, a bunch of other wrestlers' attire, mm-hmm. and then this person called her and was like, I need gear right now, yeah. And she's like, shit, I don't have any fabric,
Yeah, like, blue cheetah print, like green, like zebra stripes, like shit like that, like all sewn together onto one, her outfit.
They're like, I guess I'll just use what I have laying around.
Exactly. So I'm glad to say, unlike the previous match that I discussed, the crowd in this match is so much better.
Nice.
They interacted with the match. They were cheering for each competitor. Just like a textbook example of like what you want out of like just a good crowd.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy after, especially after watching the previous match I watched. I was like, oh, thank God.
Oh, thank goodness.
Thank goodness.
Look, audience interaction, that's not shitty.
Exactly. Alright. So, into this match. Starts off with Heim giving Leigh a handshake. The moment she takes it, Heim just puts her in a headlock.
Great.
We're going with one of these tips back. Yep, right off the bat, just like that. So, the two go back and forth for a bit until Heim switches in a wrist lock on Leigh. And Leigh does a pop and lock. And gets out of it with that.
Perfect.
And I was like, she danced out of the move. I was like, I already like this.
This is already great.
Eventually, the two separate, and there's another collar and elbow tie-up that follows it. And the two get into like a bit of a more of a back and forth again like this, where they're just kind of cinching and in and countering each other's holds. And this, it stops when Heim, I think it's Heim, yeah, it's Heim, gets a lay in a German suplex position, right? So Leigh does the Macarena to get out of it. It was just like, she's just dancing her way out of holds.
Very good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very good way to, like, get out of holds creatively, I feel like.
Yes. And sadly, though, this isn't as effective as she was kind of hoping. But no, that's it. It's not as effective as it is entertaining, because Heim at this point is fuming that she just did that twice to her. She puts her in another headlock right after, as she's like, yeah, that worked. You're putting a headlock immediately. Lay then throws her off the rope, off the ropes, and then dives to the ground, like, below her to try to, like, go underneath when she runs over her. Except Heim sees this, stops, and then jumps and dives to the ground next to her. So now they're both laying, like, belly first on the ground, right? Mm-hmm. Lay notices it. Heim looks at her, smiles, grabs her by the head, and slams her to the mat. And I was like, oh, that's
yikes.
I'm like, that's a cool spot.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Heim then tries to do an over-the-shoulder throw on Lay, but Lay then cartwheels out of it and then drop kicks Heim into the corner. After dodging a splash attempt by Lay in the corner, Heim throws her to the opposite corner of the ring and hits consecutive running strikes, which then, as she's in the turnbuckle, she, as the ref's, like, telling her, like, stop, get her out of the out of the corner, she takes her back foot and trips up Lay, so Lay's now sitting in the corner. And then she hits a big drop kick to her chest when she's laying in the corner.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds brutal.
It was awesome. I liked it quite a bit.
Okay.
Lay tries to make a comeback here via a jawbreaker, but then Heim immediately puts a stop to this by grabbing a handful of her hair. I can speak words, English. And yanks her to the ground. And the ref's like, don't grab the hair. And she's like, well, she grabbed my hair first or something like that. No, that's later in the match. My bad. It's bullshit anyway, but, you know, heel be heel.
heels be healing.
Yep. Heim then just pummels Lay from corner to corner, and even though Lay is able to get a few strikes in the corner and, like, counter an Irish whip at one point, Heim just is in firmly control of the match at this point. This comes to an end when Lay throws Heim over her shoulders onto the apron, and though it looked like she nearly fell to the outside of the ring, like, she literally, like, got thrown over as she ran her in the corner, and for a second, it looked like she was just gonna fall to the outside. Thank God did
not. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness she did not fall unintentionally to the outside. Then Heim is able to grab her by her head and garrote her over the top rope so that she can stay further control of this and gets her in a chin lock then. But then Lay, with the help of the crowd, is able to hulk up twice and get out of it. And the two then take turns just clobbering each other with running forearms to the chest. When it basically is a spot where one of them goes to run the ropes, the other one runs. Forearm to the chest, goes to run the ropes, immediately gets forearmed in the chest the moment they turn around. Then, let's see. Then this, the two then eventually, this ends with a running face buster by Lay onto Heim. The two then get to their knees and exchange strikes with each other until they get to their feet, and Lay hits Heim with a spinning back kick to the head. She then hits a running boot to Heim's head, followed by a sling blade for a near fall.
Oh, sling blades are awesome.
I like.
I'll never hate a sling blade.
Though, now after watching WWE, I can just hear Michael Cole in my head yelling,
Sling blade! Yeah.
All right, so then this actually leads to the finish, funnily enough, where Lay goes for her finisher, since she said, I'm going to finish this, and I'm done here. And Heim then actually bites her hand, so she's forced
to
drop
has the same energy as, if he dies, he dies.
God, I fucking love that line so much.
We'll talk about it again later.
God bless you, Daniel Garcia. All right, which actually gives Heim the opportunity, because as Lay is screaming in pain as she's biting her hand, she gets into a backslide pin for the surprising win, actually.
Nice.
I was like, oh, shit, it ended.
Real quick roll up there.
I know, I was like, oh. I'll give it this. The match, for the wrestling-wise, was fine. It was good wrestling. It was well-executed. There were some points here and there where the movement was a bit, like, clunky and a bit iffy, but, like, they didn't really let it bother them, which I'm very happy when wrestlers don't let that completely ruin a spot or, like, anything like that. They just kind of go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Though, one thing I was kind of sad about was that I wish that I could have heard the two of them better while they were wrestling, because, like, they were, like, talking shit in the match and saying stuff to the ref, and I just couldn't hear it because of the announcers and the crowd and all that, and I was just kind of, like, lost in the background. I was actually surprised I heard what Lay said when she went for her finisher.
Hmm.
I will say, though, one last thing. These two had really good facial expressions and character work in this match, in my opinion.
But that always helps.
Like, Heim and Lay were very expressive, very, like, much, like, getting their character across. They were selling each other well. And, like, I will say this. I'm definitely going to look for another match of the future with either one of these two, because, like, I could definitely see, like, they have, like, this potential to them with me right now where I'm like, oh, yeah, these two can have, like, each of these two could have a really good match. I can just see it in my head.
All right, cool.
I'm going to give that match... I want to say I'm going to give that match a meh.
Okay.
Because while I did like the stuff... As I said at the end, there were some things I liked about it. The clunky-ish movement and, like, the like, not outstanding wrestling isn't going to carry it to the high meh for me, though I'm very happy that the crowd was better for this match. And, like, there were factors for it, but it was good. It's a good match to watch. I enjoyed it, and it's, like, only, like, 10 minutes or something like that.
Okay. Okay. Sounds pretty dope.
Mm-hmm.
Give me
if you second. If I I'm okay. probably gonna give you that match for next week. If you give that match a high meh, I'm probably gonna agree with it once you tell me your opinion on that match, because usually raise my opinion on matches.
I guess we'll see.
We'll see. Anywho, right. I've talked enough for this bit. Give me your next match.
All right, please. my next match is another one from the old go-to Beyond Wrestling.
I love Beyond Wrestling so much.
I know, they always have bangers, always.
They really do.
We got another banger. We got Desmond Xavier, also Ooh. Known as Wes Lee of MSK nowadays.
Oh, shit. All right.
Desmond Xavier, formerly of the Rascals, versus Zenshi. Who is somebody I've never heard of before?
Zenshi. That name sounds familiar.
That was. I had the same feeling. I was like, I know I've never seen this guy before, but for some reason that name like rings a bell.
I know where I've seen him before.
Where is that? Tell me.
He's in MLW.
That would make sense.
I think I saw like a match of his like in the background when I was walking by my dad while he was watching MLW in my living room.
Cool, cool. All right, so we got Desmond Xavier taking on Zenshi. From Beyond Wrestling, this match, these two are both incredibly fast.
Yes.
And almost right off the bat, it shows.
Yes.
They square up, they both get a little bit of moves in on each other, and then the big sequence starts, where they just start doing moves to each other, but they keep reversing each other back and forth, so nobody Ooh. Actually ever gets hit with anything. You know what I mean? It's like dodges, reversal. I cannot even begin to try to describe this sequence because it was like 1,000 things in like a second.
It's like the match started and someone was like, and they were like, all right, take the adrenaline shot right now. We're going balls to the walls right away.
Yeah, it was like the match started and they like took like they did the Pulp Fiction thing where they took the adrenaline shot like straight into the chest.
Ooh, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, straight into the chest. Let's fucking do it.
Yeah, exactly that. Like, just like, all right, this match is really cool in the beginning because, like I said, it starts off fast and you're like, all right, I like what I'm getting into here.
Yeah,
and then it slows down.
Oh,
Zenshi starts doing a little more heel work, and when I say heel work, I mean that in the terms of he's being the heel and also he's working Xavier's heels, like his ankles. He's working Desmond's like legs, basically, like ankle, like he's doing ankle locks, leg locks, like he's working his legs so Desmond can't get off the ground. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's one point where Zenshi gets some offense in, knocks Xavier to all fours, like Xavier's like in a crawling position.
Mm-hmm.
And Zenshi bounces off the ropes, does a standing moonsault, but no, was it a moonsault? Oh wait, no, that's later. I'm completely missing the part that I was talking about.
Got turned around.
Sorry. Yeah, I got a little too far in the match. This next spot, Xavier was on the top rope after getting some offense in, and then Zenshi rips his legs out, but Xavier doesn't fall. He like lands laying down on the second rope. Like, you know how like when you're like laying in the corner across like the turnbuckle? Yeah, he's like laying down basically like across the turnbuckle diagonally on the second rope.
Mm-hmm.
And then from a standing position, Zenshi just does a moonsault and hits him with both of his knees.
Wow, shit.
While he's laying on the second rope.
That's a fucking flex and a half if I've ever seen one.
Yeah, like literally Zenshi's just like, oh, you're laying like that? Anyway, turn around, just moonsault double knees to his gut. God, absolutely just looks brutal.
Sounds brutal.
Yeah. Zenshi keeps on the technical offense, but Xavier finally gets a little bit of momentum going where he kicks Zenshi away out of an ankle lock, gets up and just hits him with a cutter.
Ooh.
As you know, as they say, out of nowhere. So that was a funny bit I wanted to call out on commentary. When Xavier hits this cutter, the the announcer was like, "Oh, Connor, completely out of nowhere. Wait, no, not like that." He's like, "I didn't even mean it like that." It was very funny, but he had some offense in, and then here's the other part. Here's the other spot I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Xavier is on all fours, and he's like crawling, and he's by the ropes.
Yeah.
And Zenshi bounces off the ropes, does a shooting star press, but he doesn't like do a shooting star press and land on Xavier.
Mm-hmm.
What he does is he does a shooting star press and he gets his knees into Xavier's gut.
Damn.
So he like does a shooting star press, but he hits him with a double knee, like to his stomach,
while he's on,
while he's like crawling. Do you understand that? Does that make sense?
I think I do, and that sounds nutty to look at.
Yeah, it was. It was very nutty to look at. I was like, oh, he missed. Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, no, he did not. I'll shut exactly, the fuck up now, I guess.
I was like, oh, that wasn't a botch? But yeah, there's one point, too, where Xavier goes to throw Zenshi over the, like, into the turnbuckle.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how when they, like, throw the, like, when they hit the turnbuckle and they, like, spill over?
Yeah.
Zenshi looks like he's doing that. Mm-hmm. But then you realize he caught himself on the ropes, and he slowly is, like, holding himself up, lowers his body down, and then drops and sweeps out Xavier's legs when he comes into the corner to rush at him. It doesn't make any sense. The things Zenshi is doing in this match make no sense by human physics.
I'm just thinking in my head, and I'm just like, damn.
You literally, you have to see it. Hold on. You know what? We're taking a break. I'm sending you a clip of this match because I need you to experience this spot and tell me it's not absolutely insane. All right. So, Zach, I just showed you this wild spot I was trying to describe. I pulled up the clip. It took me way too long to find it.
Yes, it took me quite a bit of time, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
That
like,
man's got core strength for days, man.
If you want to see this spot, go watch this match. It's free on YouTube. Desmond Xavier versus Zenshi from Beyond. Easy to find. If you want to see that spot I'm talking about, go watch this match. Because I cannot do it justice with my words. There's, like, no way. Anyway, back to the match after that one spot. Zenshi gets back into the technical, working Xavier's legs. Really hammering it in, getting an ankle locks, back to the ankle locks, leg locks. Xavier's legs, he's like limping at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And Zenshi gets a ankle lock in. Xavier gets to the ropes, gets a rope break,
mm-hmm.
and then Zenshi like lets the rope break happen, and then he, with his legs, he like kicks Xavier like back towards the middle of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
Grabs his ankle again, but instead of going for an ankle lock,
yeah.
he just sits like down and like folds Xavier up in a pin.
Oh.
And then he grabs the ropes with his arm for leverage and gets the 1-2-3.
Oh, sneaky little dirty pin there.
Yes, sneaky dirty pin to end this match from Zenshi. The ref doesn't notice it. So it looked like he was going for another ankle lock, but then Zenshi's just like, nope, pin, and I got the rope, sucker. And ends up winning this one. Very, very sneakily.
Very, very sneaky.
This match was kind of solid. Like, this match was solid. I just wish we saw them do more high flyer stuff. Like, there was some cool spots here and there, but this match was a lot more technical than I wanted it to be. Like, don't get me wrong, a good technical match is good, but I know these guys are two high flyers, and I want to see them fly, you know?
I think it's like the second week in a row we've been watching matches where we went to go see a high flying thing and we got unintentionally a different match that we were not expecting.
Yeah, like Zenshi was being much more technical, working the legs of Xavier, so Xavier didn't get his flying offense off. So it was like Zenshi wasn't being high flying because he was doing the technical stuff. Xavier wasn't being high flying because he was selling the leg. So it was just like I didn't get what I wanted.
It's not what, like, you wanted.
I wish this match was more like how it started, with the reversals back and forth,
mm-hmm.
and these two just went, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I wish it was more like the Blake Christian Ben Carter match.
Gotcha.
From the Acid Cup that we watched. That was bonkers.
So good.
I wish it was more like that, but it wasn't, and it was a little bit upsetting. But that doesn't mean it was bad. It was still very good. They still had their really cool spots. They still both did high-flying shenanigans. There just wasn't as much of it as I would like to see. Because, like, for me, it felt like this match didn't play to their strengths very much.
Hmm.
And it made them both look... It made the match look less good as a whole, because you know that this is not what these guys are used to doing.
Hmm, I feel that. Like,
so, it was like, whatever. It was fine. I give it a meh, and I'm going to stick to that.
Stick to that meh.
So now, we both got our matches out of the way this week, so now it's time for the match we both took a look at. I got to pick this week, and I picked Kimberly versus Shotzi from a promotion that I did not write down.
Rise.
From Rise, thank you. I, like, had the space for it, too, and I just forgot to write it down.
Yeah.
From Rise. I was just gushing about this last match, so Zach, why don't you start us off about what you thought?
I really enjoyed this match a lot.
Me as well. I thought it was very solid.
Very well wrestled. Very, just like a very well executed match between two really good wrestlers. Funnily enough, before I saw this the match you sent me, I was like, maybe I want to watch a Shotzi Blackheart match. And I was like, oh, let me see what Mikey put for us a while. Then I saw Shotzi Blackheart. Bada-bing. I'm like, well, there's no need anymore.
I was inside your brain, baby.
I think I'm going to go on the record and say this. I don't think I've seen a bad Kimberly match yet.
No. I haven't either.
So goddamn talented.
Kimberly is just so good. Kimberly's intergender matches are also just...
Mm. When I looked... side note, because you just reminded me of it. Haim actually apparently has a lot of intergender matches, too.
Ooh, okay.
So I might be watching one of those, like, in a couple weeks after I've gone through the rotation of others. But to this match here. So the story behind this match going into this is that Shotzi just lost her belt after not being pinned in a gauntlet match by the current champ, who got cleared at the last minute, showed up and pinned a different girl to win the belt.
Yep, and is on commentary bragging about it the entire time.
She's not even, like, being, like, super obnoxious, but it's, like, one of those, like, humble brags where, like, it's just, like, she's like, no, it's just last minute. I'm just, like, she's, like, not even being, like, super dickheaded about it. She's being, like, oh, it's just a coincidence.
Oh, it was just so lucky that I got to have the opportunity to even wrestle in the tournament at all.
And she's like, oh, yeah, Shotzi and I are friends. And, like, she's not even saying with, like, malice or, like, sarcasm. Like, it's just, like, it's like some Bo Dallas shit where I'm like, you're just being a dick by being nice. Say,
I feel like there was a little hint of something in there.
Maybe.
I don't know, though. It was like this match. It was like, yeah, we're friends. And then, like, sips tea, you know?
Exactly.
Like, looks just over like, it, like, hmm.
Just let that sip for a second.
Anyway, that's not what this is about. Let's talk about the wrestling of this match between Kimber and Shotzi.
This match starts right off the bat with an extremely well-executed chain wrestling sequence.
Yes.
Really good chain wrestling. There's, like, one of my favorite parts, but there's this really cool counter where Leah's Shotzi in, like, a wrist lock and with her wrist, like, pinned to her back. And to get out of it, Shotzi basically puts them both to the floor, rolls backwards, somehow wraps Lee's arm around her leg and gets her in her own wrist lock, and then stomps her on her elbow when she gets her hand facing up. And I was just like, damn.
That Shayna Baszler style, like, stomp. Like, that was brutal.
I was brutal. And right after that, my entire expectation of the match, and I was like, if this match keeps being executed like that, this will be a great match.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
There was the other part I really liked was a little bit after that, Shotzi had a submission in on Kimberly where she was like back to back with her.
Oh, and, the like, reverse had her... surfboard looking thing.
Yeah. And then instead of just holding it there, she just slammed her body on Kimberly.
Yep.
Like, that was sick.
I thought that was awesome. I mean, it doesn't surprise me as much because in NXT, Shotzi, one of her finishes, I don't know if it still is, but she has the calf mutilator as her finisher, which is a fucking nasty-looking submission.
Yeah.
And speaking of this submission, of course it is.
It's called the cattle mutilation.
Yeah.
Like.
Yeah. Just as, like, if I recall correctly, she's a really smooth transition from this too, where she turns into, like, a backslide pin by flipping the two of them over.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, shit, all right.
Which Kimberly kicks out of, by the way.
Of course. Then we get into this back and forth where Shotzi keeps trying to roll up Lee, and Lee keeps getting, like, out of it and then getting some offense in on her own.
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah. So, we were talking about hard chops earlier today.
Oh, boy.
And boy, howdy, does Kimberly get in some of those this match.
Oh, yeah. Like, oh, my God. So after this big exchange and, like, Lee hits, like, a massive, like, tilt-a-whirl backbreaker onto Shotzi and, when she gets her out of the corner, she... fucking... Shotzi eventually, like, gets a stiff strike to Lee's chest. Like, she forearms her. And in response, Lee just chops her and, like, God, the impact of this chop.
Sounded like... It sounded like a frying pan.
Mm-hmm. And then it's just another one where she, like, shushes the crowd for a bit and then just chops her again.
Rough. It was so brutal.
Oh my God. And then, like, she's taunting Shotzi, like, she bows to her, and then Shotzi just fires up and just chops the shit out of her, like, just, like, mm-hmm. rapid fire, just... just over and over again under her, and I'm just like, oh, shit! And then
we're getting into it on her
just to stop her. I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah. I want to talk about the sequence where they just start, like, elbowing each other at the same time. They just, like, grab each other, and they're just, like, throwing elbows at each other's heads.
They're just walloping the shit out of each other.
And then they both bounce off the ropes and hit one last elbow and knock each other out.
Yep.
Oh, like, so good. Ooh, so good. Great.
Like, they were... This was JR would call a slobber knocker.
A slobber knocker, indeed. Or, as I like to call it, a good old hockey fight, where they just grab each other and just go.
Yep. And I love how the moment the two of them get up, they immediately go right back at beating the shit out of each other. But they're, despite the fact they're both clearly dazed, so it's slower. It's like one person hits one, and they have to like take a second being like, oh, fuck. All right, bitch.
Whoa, that was a... Bam. Whoa, that one hurt.
Woo, I almost fell over on that one. Oh my God, and then after this, fucking Lee hits two big-ass German suplexes onto Shotzi.
Basically throws her across the ring.
Yep, she goes for a third one though, and it's one too many, and Shotzi elbows her way out of it, and then just palm strikes Lee in the face whenever she tries to approach her, which I just thought was awesome.
Yes.
No one uses palm strikes except for like Kyle O'Reilly last time I've seen, so I was like, oh shit.
I love then palm we get strikes, this, where it's like a couple of quick ones, like bop, bop, bop.
Yeah, bop, 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 bop. And then you get this cool sequence where Shotzi spins Lee like she's going to hit her with a neck breaker and then just plants her with a spike DDT instead.
Mm-hmm.
Looked great. Then Shotzi goes for her finisher, which is the back lagoon, which is a jumping back senton off the top.
The back lagoon.
Love so that.
God bless. I thought they misspoke at first, and then I was like, oh, I get it now.
I was like, is it Black Lagoon at first? I was like, oh, it's Back Lagoon. And I thought, bless your pun. Bless it. It's like Becky Lee's the disarm her. I'm just like...
Becky Lynch, you mean? Becky Lee.
Lynch, yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, Becky Lee and Kimber Lynch.
God, those two have a hell of a match.
Yeah, they would.
Had a match on the indies, and I just need to find it.
Probably.
Ooh, I would love to see that. Anywho, before I forget where I was going with this, this then goes where Lee goes for a swanton off the top after she knocks Shotzi, like, off the tower. Like, she hits the ropes and Shotzi just falls to the floor. Lee goes for a swanton, whiffs instead. Shotzi gets up, hits the back lagoon for the win.
Yep, Shotzi gets the 1-2-3 here, pinning Kimberly. This match was awesome.
Great match.
It was short, but it was very, very good. Mm-hmm. Like, everything that was thrown into it really made it feel like a really good, solid match.
Yep.
I think I'm willing to give it the mark out.
I was torn. I was like, do I want to give it? I'm like, it's a short match. It doesn't have a ton of story. I'm like, but at the same time, like, everything is just so well executed that I was like, I'm going to give this match the low mark out. I think it'll hit there.
I'm also going to give it the mark out.
This was very, very good. Short match that's just well executed wrestling between two really talented female wrestlers.
I agree. 100%. It was super good. Again, I've never seen a Kimberly match that disappointed. Shotzi also just put in the work in this match, and just it was awesome.
Welcome to the ball pit.
Hell.
I love when she's... I don't know if she still says it, but I love when she says that shit.
Hell yeah. All right, well, Zach, that wraps up all of our matches for this week, so you know what that means. It's time for the double down.
The double down.
It's now time to find out if the match was, you know, actually good or bad. I don't know. It's time for the double down.
This is the segment of the show where me and Zach flash back to last, I guess, 2 weeks ago at this point, and and watch matches from each other's perspectives. Zach, do you remember who went first for the double down? I know it's been a while.
Let me think here. Let's see. I had... what the hell did I have? Oh, I can't find... Let me think. I gave you... I'm trying to remember if I went last time.
I believe... Okay, I know I gave you Kimberly versus Aisha Raymond, and you gave me Daniel Garcia versus Tony Deppen.
Okay. I'm going to go with saying that I went second for the double down.
All right, so I'll kick us off this week.
Yes.
Okay, so you gave me, like I said, Daniel Garcia versus Tony Deppen from, once again, Beyond Wrestling. This match was absolutely insane.
Oh, yeah.
This match was nutty.
I think I gave this is another markout?
Yeah. This is another one of those matches where, remember how I said these two beat the crap out of each other?
Yep.
This is another one of those matches where I really, really, absolutely, truly mean it with my whole heart. These two, these two kicked the absolute shit out of each other. Aww. It's like they went in and was like, hey, who can land the most potatoes in this match?
Yeah.
Like, how much can our bodies actually take of just real high impact just strikes? Oh my god. Like, these two, like, hit chops. Like, it was insane. It was absolutely, like, chops that rang out the arena, kicks that just knocked people senseless, punches, like they threw everything at each other. Like, it was just 10, it was like 10 straight minutes of just, like, two trucks in a demolition derby, just never stopping, and neither truck will give in, and they just keep ramming into each other. Like, it is absolutely wild how hard these two go at each other. Like, I don't even have... You know what's funny? I was just in so much awe of this match. I don't even have any, like, spots written down. The notes I have for this match are heavy hitting, 10 minutes of absolute impact, these two are gonna murder each other, and Deppen wins. And that is my notes for this match. Because I was just, like... enthralled. Two absolutely killed each other.
Yeah, they did.
Oh my god, I loved every second of it. This match is easy, like, easy, not even snap off mark out. Like, I cannot begin to describe to you how awesome this match is. Go watch it.
Yeah.
It's on you again, free match on YouTube. Don't Beyond just gives away these pay-per-view level matches for free constantly. Go check out Daniel Garcia versus Tony Deppen. You will absolutely not regret it. You know, if he dies, he dies.
If he dies, he fucking dies.
This match ruled, Zach. This match fucking ruled.
I remember, I'm glad you liked it. I remember, I have high mess / mark out here, because I remember this match was really good. It's really good.
There was parts where I definitely popped off on this one.
Oh yeah.
Like, it was very, very good.
I wasn't
ready. I was like, oh, it's 11 minutes. How good? It's fine, I'm sure. Then I was like, what?
Yeah, I think
absolutely blown away.
I'm trying to remember what happened. I think I want to say that when I finished this, I was like, didn't give me the markout feeling, but it was really good. And I was like, Mikey might like this.
I loved it. I love this match. High impact. These two, like I said, these two killed each other. These two brought everything they had and just went 10 minutes of just pure adrenaline wrestling kill each other mode. Anyway, my match was short, so I'm gonna let you get right into yours. And I geeked out about it enough, I think.
Oh god. You gave me, as you previously stated, I'll say it again, you gave me Janie Hayter versus Aisha Raymond.
I believe this was for the GWF Women's Championship.
It was, with Raymond coming in as the champ. I really liked this match.
I also did.
This match was a very well booked match. Like, first, right off the bat, great crowd again. I will always talk, if a crowd is great, I'll always mention it. This crowd was awesome. This crowd wanted Hayter to win really badly. They didn't want Raymond to win. It gave Raymond a lot of, like, energy to feed off of and, like, just be a great heel. For starters, I really like how strong that they booked Raymond to look in this match here.
Real quick aside for this match, I don't know if I told you yet, but Aisha Raymond actually messaged us on Twitter thanking us for reviewing the match.
Oh, that's so nice of her.
Yes, it was very nice, and I appreciate it. So, hey, Aisha Raymond, if you're listening and you ever want to come on, DM us on Twitter, let us know. We'd love to have you for an interview.
Oh, yeah, that'd be nice. All right, so let me see. Oh my god. So let's see. Let's start off with how The story of this match is basically, can Hayter outmaneuver Raymond before Raymond can hit her power moves on Hayter? Like, to give you a perspective for those of you listening about how strong Raymond is booked here, Raymond back elbowed Hayter to get her off of her from a German at the beginning of this match, and it literally sent Hayter flying across the ring into the turnbuckle. And I was like, oh shit.
Yeah, they show you exactly how this match is going to go right in the beginning.
Speaking of which, there's a really cool spot that comes out from this that I really liked, where, like, after Raymond then tries to run at Hayter, who's in the corner at this point. Hayter ducks, hits a flurry of strikes, gets thrown onto the apron, and I like how Raymond runs at her, but eats just this meaty-ass knee to the gut, and then eats a stunner after she's draped over the middle rope, hanging towards the outside. Because that basically set the tone for this match, where it was like, Hayter hits hard and fast, but she's not as strong as Raymond in this match.
Yeah, this match felt like a lot of, like, Jamie Hayter trying to outfox Aisha Raymond.
There's literally a moment, if I recall correctly, where Hayter, like, tries to go for a German, and Raymond just immediately punishes her, and then later on, Raymond tries to go for a suicide dive, and Hayter just instantly elbows her in the face when she gets to the ropes.
Yep.
And it just basically shows you, like, these two are gonna be punished if they try to do something outside of their wheelhouse, unless their opponent is just absolutely debilitated.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. Let me think, what else is there? Well, hold on, I'm looking through my,
One of my favorite spots in this match was the delayed suplex from Raymond.
My God. She gets her in like this super long suplex towards the end of the match. She hits it once, goes for it a second time, and then Hayter just swings it back like a pendulum into like where she's falling backwards, and she just fucking spikes Raymond on her head.
Oh yeah.
Looks awesome when she hits her with that.
Yeah, one of my favorite spots in that whole match.
It is one of mine too. So I remember when I watched that, I was like, oh shit.
It's just uber clean. Like it looks so buttery smooth.
Yep. Let me think. There's like points here where like Raymond's in charge, and like there's like this nice little neat thing I like where like this is this fun thing where Aisha's got, and I actually finally found the name of this fucking move. It's a submission hold where you take both your opponent's arms, you cross them, and you use those to choke your opponent, right?
Yep.
God bless the guy on commentary. He fucking called this move by what it is. It's called a Japanese stranglehold.
There you go. We did it.
For so long since I've been doing this show, people do this move, and I'm like, I don't know what this move is. It looks brutal, but I just don't know what to call this move. I do now.
Now we know. We learn something new every day. All right. Yeah.
But it's just a nice little thing where Aisha's got her in the stranglehold, and she knees her in the back. Just so that she could yell at the crowd, because the crowd's like clapping and trying to get Hayter to come back. She knees her in the back and leaves like Hayter out of breath, like just fucked up basically from it. And she turns to the crowd and just basically says, shut the fuck up. And they all just stop and boo her. And she goes right back to put her into the hold. And I just like it, because it's like, it's little things like that that I enjoyed in this match, where like she was really playing off the crowd's energy, and so was Hayter.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that her finish is a powerbomb. Granted, I'm biased because when I was a kid, and Batista was a big thing. The Batista bomb was his finisher, and I loved it. So I'm always a big fan of the powerbomb finisher.
Fair.
And I liked how like Hayter like kind of got full of her stuff here, of herself here in the end here, and tried going for a running knee too many times, and then Raymond just punished her for it.
Yeah, Raymond just like catches her on the last one and just slams her with the powerbomb.
This match, the best way I can describe it, was simple but well told story with with very solid, very like hefty wrestling. Like these two, every strike these two had, like oomph. There was like a solid ass connection with each hit. They both sold it really well too.
Yeah, there was meat. There was like behind. There was meat behind all those. It made me go, they were solid. Damn.
You were just beating the shit out of each other. And I knew Hayter could go because I'd seen one of her matches from Shine where she teamed with Allison Kay. Funnily enough, it was a match you gave me. I'm surprised. I can't remember the other two competitors' names, and I don't want to butcher them.
Oh, no, that was from Shimmer, where she teamed with Dee Priestley, not Allison Kay. That was it.
Oh, shit. Fuck, I could have sworn it was Allison Kay.
It was Dee Priestley.
Hmm.
I remember that match, because I liked that match a lot.
It was a very good match. I think I gave the match a markup. But I digress. For giving this match the grade before I forget to it, I'm going to give this match the high meh.
Okay.
Didn't hit the markout range for me, but like I'm always a fan of heavy strike in wrestling. I really enjoyed this match a lot.
Me too. I thought it was very, very good.
And,
I gave it a high meh as my review.
I think, if I recall correctly, you were in a similar situation with me and Garcia and Deppin, where you were like, tempted to give it the mark out, but you ended up giving it the meh, the high meh in the end. I think that's what I'm going. I'm going with high meh, but it was a great match.
I agree. It was a really well-wrestled match between these two, and they really knocked it out of the park.
I sense a theme here where we picked three matches this week where we had women beating the shit out of each other. Or people
just,
beating
just
the
people
shit out
beating
of each
the
other.
Shit out of each other. Is my favorite kind of match.
Yeah, just people beating the shit out of each other. Garcia, Deppin, Raymond and Hayter, and then your other match, which was then Blackheart and fucking Lee.
I just love brawl. I just love when people brawl it out, man. Why do you think like Kevin Owens is one of my favorite wrestlers? I just love high impact wrestlers. Like no nonsense, just like I'm going to slam into you with my body and I'm gonna throw you around, you know? Like
fair enough. Yeah. What I need is in my life, I need to find a match on here where we get like a super high flying match. Like I want like a spots vet match next time we record. I need to find that.
Let's look Young Bucks.
Very true, very true.
I that's true. I haven't watched like a solid spot heavy match in a while. You know what I wanna watch again? I want to watch Bucks versus Omega and Page again. Oh my god!
Oh my god! I haven't watched
what a match that was.
God damn!
What a match
that
was. We watched that at my house, right?
Yep, we did. I remember when that match came out. I remember thinking to myself, "This is the best tag team match I have ever seen," and
period
likely will be one of the best tag team matches ever. And I remember because you had to go to the door to get our food when they were going through the finish, and I was just popping off with stuff, and you were just like,
"We ordered pizza." And I was like, "Why did you have to show up now?"
Oh my god. God, what a good
match. Oh my god. What a match. Anyway, that does it for this week's episode of Independent Waters. We went through all of our matches, went through the double down, we got everything out of the way. Go check out all the other shows here on the Count Out Wrestling Network. Go check out Hit the Books every Friday where me and Ryan Knightsey book SmackDown and Raw in our own special way with our own rosters, and we are currently building toward Fastlane, so if you're into that, go check it out, because we are on the road to WrestleMania, so things are getting spicy over there, let me tell you. And any other shows on the network, go check out Your Dose of Death, How to Talk to Your Friend About Wrestling, go check those out here. We have those weekly on the network as well. And if you want to follow the Countout Network for any updates, go check out our Twitter at CountOutPod, where we just share everything going on with the network and just share our thoughts on the wrestling world and the world in general. We'd love to hang out with you over there. So go follow us if you would like. And also, we have a YouTube channel, Countout Podcast Network, where we put, or Countout Wrestling Network. You'll find it. go subscribe there. We put out a bunch of cool video content, for you that's different from our normal podcast spiel every week, so go check it out over there if you're into that. And go check out the website, countoutpod.com, which also just has everything to do with the podcasting network. If you want to learn a little bit about the host, if you want to learn about all the shows we have, stuff like that, go check out countoutpod.com. I believe that about wraps up the plugs. Zach, you got anything this week?
Nope.
Didn't think so. All right. Well, that just leaves one last thing to say then, and that is, remember, there's a gigantic sea of independent wrestling out there.
So never stop exploring.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Hi, guys. This is Lauren.
This is Michael.
And this is Your Dose of Death Podcast. If you're genuinely curious about the world of deathmatch wrestling, look no further, as me and Mike have you covered on all things in the world of deathmatch wrestling, whether it's
interviews,
show reviews, or everything in between. We have you covered on all things deathmatch wrestling, whether it's past, present or future. And you're probably wondering where you can go support us. You can find Your Dose of Death podcast on all major podcast platforms, especially along with the Count Out Network of Podcasts. And also, you can support us on the Count Out Patreon, as we have exclusive content only on the Patreon for all of our listeners. We hope that you go listen to Your Dose of Death podcast very soon.
And see you at the shows.